he's changing the service. You know, he thinks it's his services. Sue can tell you now, I don't mess around. I study, I pray, I get in my Bible, I prepare lessons, and I get here, and he says, nope, I'm going to do this instead. Okay. I just work here. Okay, so I'm going to go with what he's doing. So real quickly, I made some things here. All right. Youngin, I need you. Yes, you want to help me preach today? Is that okay? Can I have your two youngins, girls? Could y'all come up here? I'm not going to make you do anything embarrassing, I promise. And we got the video. Just stand one on either side of him. That is, I'm in the way, aren't I? She's going, well, I'd like to, mister, but... This is what I saw, and I'm purposely, I saw children because they're not accountable, you know. How many of you know what St. Jude Hospital is? And I thank God for St. Jude, probably the best that we have in America until revival comes. There is something better than St. Jude. But we're not there, as Alan said, yet, but we're getting there. But Alan's message was on hope today, and I feel like the Lord was saying, I want you to give them a vision of hope, what this is all about, where we're going. Now, this is total pretending. We're not pronouncing anything bad on you. But if you've ever seen the pictures of those little children, if you want to see the devil incarnate, watch what he does to those kids. Unaccountable, just born into a fallen world. And to be, and sadly, a world where there's not a gospel preached strong enough to get them healed supernaturally. So I just want you to picture these three, and maybe, you know, they're bald-headed like you see them on the pictures, and they're suffering some kind of terminal disease, which is not their fault, and they're unaccountable. You can't blame them. You can't blame their faith. I thank God for the doctors and everything. Their thing I love about St. Jude, you will never be turned away for money. If you can get there, your child will get help. I'm sorry. You touched my heart. Now, what would Jesus do? Yes, sir. He's doing it like I showed you. Yes, sir. Johnny, can you come help me for a minute, please? That's what I saw. Johnny's Jesus today. Next time you might be the devil. Then I need my big... Yes. But in the, no, not you. He's taller than you, I think. Isn't he? Yes, come on up here. Jesus lived sin-free on planet Earth for 30 years without doing a single miracle. I wonder about all of the children he walked by that were sick. Yet he didn't heal one of them, did he? You know there were blind, sick, crippled children in Nazareth where he grew up. Yet he himself walked pure. Come around on this side. He himself walked pure. I need you guys to take two steps forward so they can walk behind you. Stop right there. Perfect. For 30 years, though, he walked sin-free, did he not? But the day came when he was baptized with the Holy Ghost, and that's why we've got the huge one here to represent power. So power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, this is going to seem sacrilegious to a lot of people, but I've got to do it because of the vision where he's taken us. Without the Holy Spirit, before that day that Jesus himself was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, come and lay your hands one at a time on each one. A lot of people are going to get mad at me for doing this. But Jesus himself, even though he was sin-free, could have laid his hand. I see, but I can feel the resistance already. Jesus himself could have laid his hands on them. And without the Holy Spirit, they would not have been healed. I know I'm going to get letters. I'm a big boy. I can take it. But now that is the truth. Because we see what we're talking about is co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus with... There's no way I can put him in him. I'm not going to make him get on his back like Alan. I'm nicer than Alan. Aren't you glad about that? Thank you. So I don't know how else to demonstrate it now. But see, now this time, you're going to lay your right hand on this first one's head. And when he does that, you're going to lay your hand on his hand. Can you see this? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. So Jesus himself would walk through St. Jude's. Don't you tell me he wouldn't. Jesus himself would walk through there and every one of those children would come out healed. Now that is our vision. You got that? You say, yeah, but that's Jesus. Yeah, that's Jesus. Y'all can sit down. Thank you so much. Yes, give them a hand. You say, well, yeah, Brother Gary, but that's Jesus. Now open up to Acts 5. We read Acts 10:38. Well, excuse me, before you even go there, go to John 14 first. Let's do that one first. Because Jesus said in John 14, 12, give you just a moment, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And then in the same chapter is where he introduces the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter. In fact, I feel like he's saying, just go ahead and continue. So verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, sandwiched right in between those statements and the promise of the Holy Spirit, like the bologna in the middle of the bread here, sandwiched right in. You can't have either. You can't have the bread without this. If you love me, keep my commandments. And Jesus had been doing exactly that for 30 years. You got that? He'd been doing exactly that for 30 years. We may get to that verse. He says, I want you to keep, if you love me, keep my commandments. You'll remain in my love as I have kept my Father's commandments and I've remained in his love. Got that? Okay. So then he talks about the Comforter. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, he says the works that he did, and we just saw how he did it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He never did it before, did he? Now, what did he say about believers that are going to be his witnesses? He says, don't you even leave town. Don't you even leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power. The other day, I got really rebuked by somebody. It doesn't matter who, doesn't matter what they said. I'm a big boy. I can take it. Basically, I mean, I'm a teacher. He was chewing me. You know, evangelists will always try to make you an evangelist. You know, and that's okay. I mean, they can't. That's okay. Their calling is very narrow. I understand that. I did. Well, my calling is very narrow. You can't make an evangelist out of me. I can share my witness, but I'm not called to be an evangelist. I'm sorry. You can just go talk to the master. I don't work for you. I know what my job is, and it's not to go evangelize. Heresy. No, I can witness. I witness. I share my testimony all the time. But I'm a teacher. I know what I'm called to do. What I'm saying, though, this guy was, he was kind of giving me what fur. Down south, you know what that what fur is, you know. He was being relatively nice because we were in the building. I don't think he would have if we'd been out of the building, but anyway. And as he's walking off, the Holy Ghost, all he said to me, I wasn't mad, really. I mean, I don't like to be, you know. But as he's walking off, I heard the Holy Ghost say, there goes another powerless evangelist. And he's leaving here because we don't evangelize. Well, when he evangelizes, he don't get him out of the wheelchairs either. You're supposed to evangelize with power. See? So our vision here at the prayer center is to do what Jesus says in 14:12, that the works, that no matter what your calling is, see, when I pray, the sick are supposed to be healed. I'm a believer. See, okay, so getting back to our little vision here, you saw how Jesus did it. He did it by the anointing, the presence, the co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, did he not? You say, well, yeah, but that's Jesus. But now Jesus said, we're going to do the same thing. Well, yeah, but I hear that, but Brother Gary, we'll turn to Acts 5. Turn to Acts 5. Well, yeah, I may lay hands on somebody, get a cold healed, but, you know, you're talking about St. Jude. You're talking about the big C. You're talking about cancer. Well, let's just see here now. I said, well, that's only Jesus. Well, here's my excuse. I'm not him. Acts 15, look at, no, excuse me, Acts 5. Did I say 15? I'm sorry, it's Acts 5, verse 15. Insomuch, well, let me, got to start at 14. Believers were the more added to the Lord. Now, you do know this is, Acts is after the resurrection. Jesus himself is not on the planet. You got it? And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least, the shadow of who? Peter, who denied the Lord three times. Peter, who said, you're wrong, Jesus. That ain't going to happen to you. And Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified. No, you ain't. That's what he did. Withstood him to his face. Gives me hope. If Peter can act like that and still made it, we can act like we act and still make it. And it wasn't his shadow. Trust me, there's no healing in the shadow. It's that presence. To get within shadow length, that presence would reach him. That at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now keep reading. There came also a multitude. Multitude is more than a few. A few, the Bible says, a few were saved by water. Well, that was eight. So I know a multitude. Hey, if we got eight healed today, you know, but a multitude is way more than eight. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about. They came from Sapopa and Catoosa and Broken Arrow and Sand Springs. It won't be long. They'll be coming from Wichita, Kansas City, St. Louis, Dallas. And the same thing's going to happen here that happened in this verse. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. Now that means there's probably mental issues going on. Okay? And a few were healed. What? Read it again, Gary. I mean, if this wasn't in my Bible, I don't think I could believe it. And they were healed, every one. You say, well, yeah, but that was an apostle. And that's the apostles, that's Peter and those that ran with him. Come on now. Do you still have the book of Mark in your Bible? Let's go to Mark 16. Because these very ones that we're reading about there, Jesus sent them out, all right. And he said, go to every nation. It's not just to the Jews. It's to all of us. He says, I want you to preach this gospel, and everything I taught you, I want you to teach them to do what I taught you. And look what he says about them. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now he's talking about second generation, third generation, not the 12, but the ones that the 12 taught. And then the ones that they taught. And then the ones that they taught. And it's supposed to come right down to our generation. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, that's us. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. If that's not supernatural, I don't know what is. That doesn't mean snake handling. But it means if you're out serving the Lord and a snake crawls out of the fire like with Paul and it bites you, or if they try and poison you out there or something, you have supernatural power from the lips of the Master. It will not harm you. Okay? But notice this. They, the believers, second generation, third generation, 2,000 year later generation, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I believe it when Dave says we're going to empty children's hospitals. I still have that hope in me. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Amen? So I'm teaching lessons right now on learning to co-labor with the Holy Spirit. Our job is to learn how to walk with the Holy Spirit the same way Jesus co-labored with the Holy Spirit, the same way Peter co-labored with the Holy Spirit, the same way these early believers, they learned how to co-labor with the Holy Spirit. And if they can do it, say it after me, I can do it. They're not special. I can do it. I can learn how to co-labor with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. I keep having this recurring thing happen in me. It's not exactly a vision. But I keep seeing the dividing point, the dividing line where Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because for that first 30 years, his relationship with the Lord was pretty much vertical. Now he did, when he was 12, I think today we'd call it his bar mitzvah. When he was 12, they couldn't find him. Remember, 2 or 3 days they couldn't find him. And come to find out, he was in the temple or the synagogue. He was there teaching. 12 years old. And they were astounded at the knowledge. So even at that early age, you know, when they found him, he said, well, what are you doing, son? He said, well, did you not know I had to be about my father's business? So we do know that he shared there. Now, whatever else he did between age 12 and age 30, we're not given very much information. But I'm seeing a dividing line between his years of walking sin-free. Wonder what his relationship with the Father was. I mean, my goodness, what a relationship. But there's no outward kingdom of God manifestation until he gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. Then all of a sudden, buddy, it's on. First off, he has to succeed where the first Adam failed. The Spirit takes him right into battle, right into the wilderness. And actually, you know, for years I had the vision that Jesus fasted for 40 days and then he was tempted of the devil. But that's not really what the Greek language says. It says he was there 40 days tempted of the devil. Dave taught us about that. He said, if you think those three temptations is all that was involved, he says everything that can be thrown at a human being was there thrown at him. Everything. And he overcame it all. See? But he had to succeed where the first Adam failed. When the first Adam got tempted, he fell. This one, when he got tempted, he overcame. By the way, how did he do it? It is written. It is written. It is written. Used the sword of the Spirit. we would be well off to learn to use the same thing. That's not the lesson for today. I see the prayer center, we're coming at a place, that same place with all of us. Not that our relationship with the Lord won't continue to be developed vertically, because it will be. But we're coming to the place, and may already be there, or quickly getting there, where our whole world is not about vertical anymore. Our whole world is about setting the captives free. Real evangelism with power and demonstration of the Spirit. Paul says, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Well, we're making that shift. We're making that adjustment. So I've been meditating on that a lot. He's given me quite a bit about co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. But this morning, well, let me say how it started. My son-in-law, Kyle, called me about a week ago. And he was just all excited again. He says, those people that get mad at you and Nathan for telling you don't have to sin anymore, and you don't have to be taught out of it, that you can stop sinning from the very first day. He says, those people that get mad at you, have they ever listened to the Born Again Trail? Because he says, I'm telling you, in the first two minutes, Dave teaches that exact thing. So I texted him back and I said, yeah, but they get mad at me and Nathan and not Dave. So he sent me an emoji that was like this. If you can't see me, I'm like, oy vey, you know. So I asked Derek when I got here today, talk about short notice, this all happened quickly. Just listen to Dave now. And the reason for this, I want your ears to be listening for this. Because what we're studying is co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. On these first 2 minutes of the first message of the Born Again Trail, Dave tells you exactly what the first level of that is. Your first co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. Please.
Open up to John, the 9th chapter, please. Where we left off, and then, of course, we'll be back over to John, the 1st chapter. And we've been studying what? What have we been studying? That's right. We've been on the Born Again Trail. Hallelujah. So we'll pass in review just very briefly and pick it up at the 9th chapter in the 1st verse again. Right, in the first session, we found out in Romans that sin will not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. And for a believer to really walk in victory, then the first transformation that we've got to have
first
is to that fact. I mean, totally transformed to the fact that sin does not have dominion over us. It doesn't have it. And anything that we've been set free from, if we continue to justify, then you've taken away from the Holy Spirit what He needs to set you free with. So to really walk this born-again trail out, that's the first transformation, is that sin no longer has dominion over me. In all the cohorts or the byproducts of sin, which was poverty and sickness and disease and depression, all those things that accompany spiritual death, they don't have dominion over me either. Because if sin doesn't have dominion over me, neither does any of these other things. So to really, really have victory, the first order of transformation, in other words, the first thing the Holy Spirit's going to do in your life using that new nature is transform you to the fact that none of these things have dominion over you. Now, I'm not saying that to bring you under condemnation. I'm saying that to set you free. Because if I'm willing to justify anything and condone anything, then I have not given the Holy Spirit all that He needs to set me free. So,
the first 2 minutes of the first message of the Born Again Trail. And did you notice the connection Dave made between walking free from sin and walking free from sickness? Walking free from depression? Walking free from all those other cohorts? The first level of transformation. And I feel like the Holy Spirit has been hammering us, if you'll allow me. He's been using the Nathan hammer. And sometimes the Gary hammer. And sometimes even the Alan hammer. But that hammer is really gentle. Alan's hammer reminds me of Dave's hammer. But getting us to the place, the first level of transformation. Let's say it this way. The first level where you are going to co-labor with the Holy Spirit, you're going to fight your flesh and tell it no until you make it stop sinning. And I don't care what level of sinning that is. It can be from really serious stuff like adultery, fornication. It can be drug abuse. It can be alcohol. I sat here and heard that myself, smoking like a freight train. Did I obey what Dave said? No. Hey, Peter can make it. I thank God I wasn't involved in those other things, but still, I was justifying it. And don't tell me it didn't affect my faith. It does affect your faith. So, what I'm encouraging, because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, we are moving from the vertical to the horizontal. We are moving into the arena now of co-laboring with the Holy Spirit to get others set free, to evangelize with power, to do all of the things we're supposed to be doing. So if you're still, how did Dave say it, justifying, and let's say it a little different. If you're still doing sin and saying it's okay, or even if you're saying it's not okay but you're still doing it, your first level, the first thing you need to work on, stop it. Yeah. Stop it yesterday. John 8. Go to John 8. I have a really nice lesson here we may never get to. Then again, we might. I just work here. Did you know that the John 8 starts off with the story, the telling of the lady who was caught in the act of adultery? And most of us are very familiar with that story. I'm not going to go through it not in detail. But did you ever think that really this whole episode with her is a picture of the whole church, even though not everybody commits fornication, but everybody commits something? It's a picture of coming to Jesus before we get born again. This is a foreshadowing, a picture. She is a type and a shadow for all of us. Because here's this lady, she's in adultery. We could just pick one. You're in any kind of sin. Well, we're all, there's none righteous, no, not one. Everybody sins. Amen? So everybody is guilty, if you'll allow me. Everybody is guilty under the law. That's what Paul said. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Because eventually you're going to figure out, I can't keep it. And if I can't keep it, I'm worthy of death. I need a Savior. Well, that law was your schoolmaster to bring us all to Christ. So they're trying to kill her under the law. But Jesus knows he is the sacrifice. So let's just pick it up near the end of the story. After Jesus does what he does, and all the accusers have left now. So verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. Now notice this. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Now stop before we even read the rest of it. Why? Why in the world would he say that? Because he knows that within 3 years, he himself is going to take that condemnation. He himself is going to die in her place. See, and this is the picture for everybody that comes to Jesus. No matter how bad your sin was, no matter if it was adultery, which is one worthy of death, no matter what it was, when you come to Jesus, all your sins are paid for at that point. Everything you ever did, everything you did as a child of Adam, all of it, I don't condemn you. It's like your past is wiped clean. We know, because we've read more, we know that you literally become a new creature. But even without that thinking, your past, I don't condemn you when you come to Jesus. But now notice what he says to her. And this is the foreshadowing. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, if I'm a Romans 7 person listening to him, which all of them were Romans 7 people, what I mean is they're not born again. But you know, a lot of people loved God, saw God's law, with their mind agreed that the law was good. I think I'm going to keep that. But they found out, like the guy in Romans 7, he says, I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm not going to do that bad thing anymore. Wasn't very long. Doing it again. That good thing he was going to do, somehow never got around to doing that. He said, but with my mind, I agree that your law is good and holy and perfect. But I find another law deeper than my mind. There's another law working in my members. And it is the law of sin. And there it is. The fatal flaw that's in all of humanity. White, black, brown, polka-dotted, striped. Eve was the mother of all living. We all come from the same branch. Nobody could keep it. And that man in Romans 7, he's in agony. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Then we go into the glorious Romans 8 chapter. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that very law of sin and death. That very law that he discovered that was deeper than his mind. He says, through the power of the new birth, I break that. You no longer. That I'm going to put a law in you that frees you from that law of sin and death. That's why he says to her, it's prophetic, go and sin no more. You know, there's one other time he said that. He said to, I think, to the man at the pool of Bethesda. That's the other time when he says, Bronk and I were talking about this a little while back. I said, you know, to those two, he said, this one he says, go and sin no more. And to the man at the pool of Bethesda, I think he said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. And then for a long time, you know, Bronk and I talked about it, said, well, I wonder why he didn't say that to everybody. But I kept having this itching. Y'all ever get a scratching down on the inside? Every time I'd say that, I'd have this little scratching going, he did. But I couldn't find it until now. And for a love offering. Gary, when are you going to go into doing that? Probably never. It's just fun. You want to see the universal go and sin no more? It's the very next thing out of his mouth. Right here where we are. See? So she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again. He's not through talking yet. Again unto them saying, I am the light of the world. Now here's your universal. Here's you. He that followeth me. Is that you? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. But what? How can you say that, Jesus? How could the Romans 7 guy, he couldn't do it. How can I do it? Because you're going to have the light of life. You're going to have the new nature on the inside of you. You will become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You'll have the same life in you that I have in me. That's the life that I walk sin free by. And that life will be in you. And you will not have to sin anymore. for all of us. Go and sin no more. And the thing of it is, we can do that. I was raised in church that did not preach that. From the pulpit. I can't tell you how many times. And I'm not... They were well-meaning. They loved people. They loved Jesus. They were trying to do their best. But they're just wrong. Because I was taught, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. There was never a bigger lie ever told. That is heresy to the 10th power. That is the opposite of what the whole gospel is about. You were an old sinner. You needed a Savior. You could not save yourself. But thank God you received the Savior. He forgave you and He recreated you into a new creature that is now cut from the cloth of righteousness. That's who you really are. And you have the power to not sin anymore. Now your flesh won't like that. Your flesh will throw a hissy fit. Your emotions will throw a hissy fit. Who cares? That's the first level of transformation. And at least start with the mouth. I recommend right now, I'm hearing those First John confessions. Brock did something funny this week. I was watching his message. Now the first one that did this was Angie's husband, Kevin. Because he really enjoyed the First John series. And somebody said something about being saved. He said, I'm not just saved, I'm First John saved. Yeah. Now I highly recommend that series to you. You know, I'm telling you, it's really changed my life. So Bronk, this last Wednesday, I believe it was, he was leading his whole church. He's go, church, are you saved? And they're going, we're First John saved. He go, church, are you saved? We're First John saved. Well, what they mean by that is stop making excuses. Because John, the apostle of love, tells the truth. He says, if you tell me you love him and you don't keep his commandments, you are a liar. If you say you know him, I know him, and you don't keep his commandments, he says you're a liar. You don't know him either. You don't know him. And what do we read there in John 14? Right, the sandwich, the bologna in between the two breads. The works that I do, you'll do also. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. And by the way, if you love me, keep my commandments. Strong stuff, isn't it? So time is short. He's been at this a long time, getting us to clean up our act and straighten things up now. See, and yes, sir. Because it's hard to talk in tongues and English at the same time. I'll just wait till he gets through. Just a minute. See, because he's reminding me right now, he's not after a gifts revival with us. He could have had a gifts revival through us 25 years ago. That's not hard for him. Listen, every gift of the Spirit that you read of in 1 Corinthians 12, all of them except two, you can find in the Old Testament. All of them. Gift of faith, working of miracles, all of them you can find. The only ones you don't are speaking with tongues and interpretation of tongues, which he's got to be in you to do that. But all the rest, I mean, so that tells me he can do the gifts of the Spirit through unsaved people. And the problem in Corinth was pride. I'm puffed up. He used me. He used me in a miracle. Don't you understand? And my response now is, well, congratulations. You finally made it to the level of an unsaved Old Testament person. Because he used them in the same gifts. And what happens, I mean, he can do it. He still does it. He's still doing it today. But what usually happens, they got handles sticking out 16 miles in every direction. And it isn't very long before the enemy grabs a hold of a couple of them. And you got another scandal of sex or money or both. Or have them drink Kool-Aid in Guyana. Something terrible, you know. Just handles. So I thank God for this church. And I understand why God sent us Pastor Dave. Thank God for our pastor. Teaching us how to mortify the flesh and how the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us do that. He does not do it for you. You are the mortician, but he is the helper. And he will take hold together with you against your flesh. He will help you. But how, and Dave, if you keep listening to that first message on the born again trail, if you just buck up, is that a good word? If you just rear up and say, I'm not free. Now you wouldn't say it like that. You say, you know how we say it? I'll use Gary. I'll be mean to Gary. I can't quit. Why can't you? I'm weak. And I'd grab onto anything I could grab hold of. I need to be taught. I need to grow up. I'm a baby. Any excuse so I can keep my sin. Addiction. Okay? But then God sent Nathan, who meticulously and without mercy went through the scriptures and took away all my excuses. Now, I got free before Nathan came, by the way. What I mean is I quit smoking before Nathan came. But I'm trying to say, I understand what's going on here. He is taking away all of our excuses, and he's just doing that so he can bring us right back around to the first 2 minutes of message one of volume one. He's trying to get us to just walk in the first 2 minutes. It's laughable. It's laughable. Sue's going, oh, brother, he's all these years with Nathan and everything that's happened trying to get us to finally, please, can you walk in the first 2 minutes? Is that good? Of the born again trail? Because we got St. Jude's to empty. Can we start getting about our Father's business? Can we get done with the trivial fleshy stuff? Can we please get on with it? Oh, I'm sorry. That was me, not the Holy Ghost. I think he's in there a little bit. I mean, he's wanting to go to... I don't know anymore what to call them. Dreams, visions, whatever. Well, I wasn't asleep. I guess it was a vision. But I said, Robert, come here again. I hesitate to call out names because names leave me when I get in this mode. I can barely remember Sue. But where are my youngins left? Would you come? You. Oh, there they are. They're right behind you. Yeah, send me just you, honey. You'll do. Come on up here. Come on up here. You always do. Look at her. Look how pretty. Oh, I said I wouldn't embarrass her. Look. Now I'm a believer. I can Sean die right along with the best of you. I got the Holy Ghost. Pretty soon I'm going to bring some visual aids. I've got a fiery tornado thing representing the Holy Spirit. I got sound with it. When you play that thing and when you see it and hear it, something, it makes me tremble. That I've got God, the Holy Ghost. Now, big as Robert is, he ain't nothing compared to who's in me. This is a tornado of fire. This is energy beyond anything. And what I keep seeing here, I'm this believer with the Holy Ghost. Yet if this little girl was one of those in St. Jude, what is it in me that's not letting this power flow through me? And I'm telling you, Gary's had enough. And I hope you've had enough. And let's quit milk toasting this thing. Deal with the flesh. Let's start getting about our Father's business. Because I'm telling you, he is not pleased. Here's the image. Step one step forward and stay right there. I picture her with like one of those St. Jude's. And for me and the Holy Ghost to go walk. And maybe I'm praying in tongues as I walk by her. Shandalabakus. Oh, Shandalabaka. I don't know. Shandalabratuki. I come back by and nothing happens. But yet I've got the Holy Ghost. Something's wrong, church. And I don't think it's him. Thank you again. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Robert. So go to 2 Corinthians 13:14. I don't think it's an accident that the Lord had me start with this verse 2 or 3 weeks ago when I did that first lesson on co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Corinthian church is the most messed up church we have in the Bible. Most carnal, most babyish, split, divided, all kinds of factions. I'm of Nathan, I'm of Alan, I'm of Gary, well, I'm of Dave, well, I'm of Jesus only. Well, they had theirs, Apollos, you know, whatever. But besides that, there was such rampant sin going on that even the heathen wouldn't allow it. And the leadership was staying silent about it. I mean, this is a messed up church. And in all of their messedness, God was still using them in the gifts. Now, isn't that something? But that's something. But that is not, that is most certainly not what he's after for us. Now, Paul's been helping them and teaching them. They made correction. In his first letter to him, he told him plainly, you judge that situation, that man that has his father's wife, you judge that, make the whole church know that's wrong, don't let him have any fellowship. And then he also has a lot in 1 Corinthians 14 about trying to get things back in order. Listen, you can prophesy one by one, you know, trying to get everything, you know, and by letter two, a lot of change for the good had happened. That guy that had his father's wife had repented. And now, Paul's saying, you know, restore him back to fellowship. And the leadership had repented for not standing up, not having any spine, and standing up and judging the situation. They repented, and Paul's commending them for that. But near the end of the letter, he says, I'm still hesitant to come. Because there's a lot of you, I'm afraid, that's still committing fornication. That hasn't repented. And when I come, I don't want to have to be that guy. So he's giving them a little space. But right at the end of that letter, they're growing. It's a carnal church, but they're getting better. Amen. They're better in 2 Corinthians than they were in 1. And the very last verse, 2 Corinthians 13:14. And he says these three things to them. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion, and that's koinonia, that's fellowship, the koinonia of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Now that word koinonia doesn't mean just fellowship. If you look it up, it's Strong's G2842. And it does mean fellowship. But the first meaning is not fellowship. The first meaning is partnership. You two are doing stuff together. Partnership. He's got a part to play. You have a part to play. You get your two parts together, and we have partnership. Yes, sir. Why does he list three things, and why does he list it in that order? Notice there's three things. Number one, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Number two, the love of God be with you. Isn't that, at first glance, that sounds odd. The love of God be with you. Well, isn't he love? Isn't he always love? Isn't he always with me? Then what do you mean the love of God be with me? And then again, for a love offering of 1995. No. Y'all don't even laugh anymore. I had to come up with something else. Okay, number three. Well, Sue says, well, you've been doing it for 20 years. Okay. Number three, my wife loves me. I know she does. So, number one, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's one thing. Number two, the love of God be with you. And number three, the koinonia, the fellowship, the partnership of the Holy Ghost be with you. So, I'm going to have to review this again. Now, review is good. Many people complain. They say, born again trail. Gary, there's 60 messages in the Born Again Trail. What you guys don't know is that is the condensed version. Nathan, was it 180? Is that close? The uncompressed version of the Born Again Trail? Yeah, he's nodding back there. Those of us that lived through it, B, Sue, Dave reviewed and reviewed. And then the next one, we're waiting for one more little nugget of something. And he reviews. And maybe the last 5 minutes, he tosses out a teaser. And then, see, and then the next one, you come, and he reviews. And there was 180 roughly of those. That 60 is the condensed version. Review is important. Repetition is a tool of teaching. Okay? So even though I've been over this once, we're going to go over it again. We're not even going to get into lesson two. Let's reestablish this. Why the three things? And why is it in this order? Well, what does it mean, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you? Remember, you don't have to turn to these now. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." What does Paul mean when he says, "You're not under the law, but under grace"? When you were born again, by God's grace alone, He placed within you that light of life. You are not the same person you were before you got saved. That's why Jesus could boldly say, "Those that follow me shall not walk in darkness, for they shall have the light of life." Sin, just like Dave says, when he says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, what he means is walk in the revelation that you have been saved by grace. That you, like Dave says, the first level of transformation is for you to agree with God, "I've been made free. I'm a child of light. I have the light of life." I recommend those 1 John confessions to you again. They're at Dave's website. They're at my website. Go over them again and again. "I am a child of light, and I walk as a child of light. I no longer walk in darkness. I've been made free from sin. Sin has no dominion over me," and on and on and on until it dawns on your lightning quick mind. Because Dave says, and I accurately, and Paul says, the first thing, if you're going to co-labor with the Holy Spirit, the first revelation you have to have, you've been made free from sin by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what it means. Most of the church thinks grace means He covers your sin. Now, He forgave all of them when you got saved. He absolutely did. He'll forgive you again if you repent along the way. But the truth is, you became a new creature. You were an old sinner, but you got saved by His grace, and He made you a new creature. And that spirit man on the inside of you is cut from the cloth of Jesus, if you'll allow me. You are a new creature. You are righteousness at your core. The only thing telling you otherwise is your flesh and the emotions that go along with that. John 8:12, again, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." Say it another way. They will sin no more. Same thing. He just got through saying to that lady, "Go and sin no more." And He's saying to us, "Those that follow me, you won't walk in darkness." Or you could say, "You will sin no more." Why? Because you shall have the light of life. It's that, you do know it's that same chapter in John 8 where it says, "Whom the Son makes free is free indeed." It's that same chapter. He's still elaborating on the same thing. The first level of our co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to agree with Him. "Sin has no dominion over me. I don't sin anymore. And flesh, tough." You know what Jesus and Dave taught us on this too? When Jesus was teaching in the Beatitudes about pluck out your eye or cut off your hand. Well, Jesus didn't do that. None of the apostles ever did that. What He was saying, you got to go to extreme measures sometimes. You're going to have to deal with your flesh harshly. And it may feel like you're gouging out your eye. It may feel like you're cutting off your hand. In other words, your emotions are not going to like this. I've been through withdrawals of all kinds. It's never fun. And He can deliver you without withdrawals. I've had it both ways. But if the withdrawals come, you're tough enough to do it. You are tough enough to do it. And if you say you're not, Dave was real nice. If you justify it, Gary's not so nice. If you keep doing it, that's what he meant. If you keep doing it, you're taking it. The way Dave said it, you listen to it again. You're robbing the Holy Spirit of His power in your life. And that's the first level. The first 2 minutes. Okay, I won't go through that again. Let's get to the love of God. Can you understand? That's why he starts off. You can't walk this walk without being born again. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ has to be with you. If you don't have that, you're done from the start. So number one, understand the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is that? He's empowered me to walk free from sin because I have the light of life on the inside of me. Step number one. Then number two, Paul says, I pray that the love of God be with you. You know, we know that God is love. Isn't that right? God's love, does he ever change? No. Well, doesn't he love everybody then? Well, of course he does. That tells me God loves every person that is in hell today. Isn't that right? Do you know that I don't want that kind of love? I don't want to be in hell going, well, at least he loves me. I don't want that. And I'll tell you right now, he doesn't want it either. I've had the smallest, tiniest little taste of that. And I mentioned it to you with my youngest daughter, the one who rebelled the most. Love you, Amanda. I'm sure she'll hear this again. She's going, Daddy, are you going to tell it again? Yeah, I'm going to tell it again. Well, because she rebelled and she got herself arrested by the FBI. And now she's in this horrible jail cell up in a little 100-year-old jail up in Jay, Oklahoma. And I can't get to her. They've got her locked away from Daddy. Daddy can't get to her. And my heart breaks. It didn't change my love for her at all. But I don't want her to bask in Daddy's love while she's in jail. I want her to listen to Daddy and get out, stay out of jail. And that's what he's talking about here. The love of God be with you. Receive his love and do what he tells you. And look at this. Jesus said that exactly. And I want you to see this in your Bible, John 15. Jesus plainly tells you how to abide in the love of God. Just as simple as the nose on my face. And it's a pretty big nose. See, I look in the mirror. And then I know Sue loves me. And I know there is grace. This has to be a grace thing. Can't be moved by what she's seeing. I mean, anyway. John 15. John 15, look at verse 9. Now, Paul is praying for the Corinthians and for us that the love of God be with you. All right, look what Jesus says. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. That's good. Well, continue you in my love. Well, how would I do that? Well, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Now, let's keep the analogy with my daughter, Amanda. I loved her whether she kept my commandments or not. Can I say that? Rules? Law? You understand what I'm saying? I loved her whether she obeyed or disobeyed. But she, by her own actions, removed herself from the benefits of my love, and I could no longer reach her. I couldn't hug her. I couldn't kiss her cheek. I couldn't do anything because she removed herself from my love. You understand? And he's saying, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. And then look at what he says about himself. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And no wonder John said, you tell me you love him? And you don't keep his commandments. You're a liar. God is love. Nothing can change what God is. He is love. But it is your choice whether you will abide in his love. Or whether you will choose to abide someplace outside of his love. That doesn't stop him from loving you. But the same way Amanda removed herself from my ability to express my love. To help her in any way. You, by your actions, can do the same thing. He still loves you, but you've removed yourself into a bad place. This may threaten your greasy grace gospel, but Jesus cannot lie. And he plainly tells us the way to abide in the Father's love is to keep his commandments. Then Jesus tells his disciples, which includes us, that if we that in order to continue in his love, Jesus' love, we keep his commandments. I'm going to keep you a few minutes over, but we're not having church tonight, okay? You're okay. Because this is important. Well, what if you don't keep his commandments? Well, you know, what if I do not keep his commandments? People say, Gary, I love him. I love him. I have worship time. But I'm living in fornication. I get drunk about every other day. I use drugs. But I love him. But I'm not keeping his commandments. What do you see about that, Gary? Well, what I say is, can you read? Can you read? Because Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. John's even tougher than that. He said, if you don't keep his commandments, you don't even know him. In fact, I'll just read it to you. I happen to have it here. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 6. Hereby we do know that we know him. See, that guy thinks he knows him. He really did. The guy, I'm not making up a person. That's a real person. A friend of mine that I've known for 25 years or more. He thought he was okay. No, he's not okay. Hereby we do know that we know him. See, he thought he knew him. This is how you know if you know him. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, like my friend, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, commandments, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. My goodness, hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. There's more, but we got to get on to the third one. The communion. Now, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Once you understand that you have been born again and you have that light of life, step number two, you're going to continue to walk in the Father's love because you keep his commandments. You got that? But you can't keep his commandments if you don't have step one. You've got to know that you have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that light of life. Once you know that, now you got to keep his commandments, abide in his love. If you do that, then we get to number three. The communion, the koinonia, the partnership of the Holy Ghost be with you. Now see, the Apostle Paul wanted them, the Corinthians, and us, to have the same kind of fellowship, partnership, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit that Paul himself enjoyed. As you read about Paul's life in the book of Acts, you will find precise leadership that came from the Holy Spirit. You will find Paul healing the sick, casting out devils, and raising the dead. None of that is possible without the partnership, the participation, the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we just looked at it earlier, he intends for every believer, not just the apostles, to have that same koinonia, partnership, and co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That can't happen without the Holy Spirit. Amen? So what's the lesson for today? We are at the dividing line. If you've been dragging your feet, playing with sin, still justifying it, a little harsher, still doing it, boy, it is time to repent. It's time to repent. Stop it. Do whatever it takes. The example of gouge out your eye and cut off your hand is not to get you to do either one of those things. It's to get you to deal harshly with the flesh. Deal with the emotions. If you need help, get a buddy. Get somebody to walk through with you. It's okay. And I use lozenges, those nicotine lozenges, to help me quit smoking. Doesn't matter. Just quit. Stop. The end result is get free. Because then we're going to keep ourselves in the love of the Father. And then we're going to start co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. And I'm looking for the day that St. Jude can close its doors. Because there are no more sick children to be fixed. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Press into God. We're coming to a new year. We're coming to fasting season. So enjoy the feasting season. I'm telling you, I don't expect things to stay the same. I've got hope in me. I still got hope in me. I'm not burning out. I'm burning in. I'm more in anticipation of revival than I was 20 years ago. Like Alan, you're looking forward to the day Alan walks in here straight? You're looking for the day I walk in here straight, you know, with my back, you know. Well, that's coming. But more than that, I'm looking for the day we just start emptying the children's hospital. Let's just start with the one here in Tulsa. We'll get to St. Jude's eventually. We'll just get over here and empty this one. And don't tell me Jesus doesn't want to. Yeah, He does too. Yeah, He does. Amen. All right. Father, I believe that I obeyed You. I feel a release now, Lord. Father, I thank You and I praise You for the truth. Lord, 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 thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for Pastor Dave who taught us all of these things, how to at least co-labor with Your teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit so that we could be taught these things. And Father, we just thank You for loving us too much to leave us like we are. But with love, but with firmness, You're bringing us across that line. We're no longer, it's all just about us and our relationship with You. But it's about all those out there who have no relationship with You. And setting the captives free. And evangelizing a world that needs You so bad. Father, our country needs revival. Our country needs revival. The world needs revival. Thank You, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank You for the Lamb. Thank You for Jesus. And thank You for being You. We give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen.